an addict, and I need it in my veins, I'm an addict. Otherwise I feel plain now. Every day I wake up, people got a problem, making all these trades up, got me singing got em. But I've been paid up, I even started from the bottom. See I don't wait up, I ain't even playing possum. So what it cost, I'm just a couple of firsts. Can't believe that it worked, not to say I'm a jerk, but I'm an addict. It's what I said in the first, you can curse all you want, you can pray in your church, but I'ma keep tapping return. I win up, I learn, I ain't trying to burn any bridges, I yearn for the feeling I earn. All my winnings to turn, you had a cheek before I drop you like the beat. I'm an addict, and I'm not really ashamed, I'm an addict. I'm reclining with the brain, I'm an addict. And the pot is what I'm playing, I'm an addict.
Russell Rocky.
Other names. Trade Addicts Pod. Let's go.
I'm Frank in the chat, and I have a trading problem.
I'm Tommy Blair, and I, too, have a trading problem.
I'm Mike Cash from Football Guys. I have a trading and an internet problem.
Yeah. All right. What's up, everybody? Welcome to session 413 of the TradeX podcast, where even the network went away. The DAP's always here to stay. And as you hear, we have Mike Cash joining us back after 2.5 years. And I was going back in the records, and the last time Mike was on was December of 2023, which was the appearance right before I had my first guest appearance. So it's been quite a while. And he was saying he has a 2-year-old daughter now. So congrats on that. And Mike, how are you?
I'm good. Tired, busy, just making too many dynasty trades and joining too many leagues.
Yes. And also, as you can hear, we have no Rocky tonight, but we have our dear friend Tommy, who came out of the bullpen at about 9 a.m. this morning. So we sincerely appreciate that. Tommy, how are you?
Poor substitute for Rocky, but happy to be here. Mike, I haven't podcasted with you, man, in years. We were talking off air. Yeah. Back in like the Dads for Lad era, the Bucky Irving era of rookie scouting. So I'm excited to catch up with you, man, see how you've been, and also get a gauge on this rookie class, because to be honest with you, I have no clue what to do.
Yeah. We'll get a lot of rookies in. This is our last show before the draft. We did this last year. We won't do a show next week because I am going to be on the Fantasy Cares stream on Thursday. So I'm not, it's going to be exciting. And so we don't record. And usually by the time I put this out, like the draft is basically happening. So by the time we talk about a bunch of hypotheticals, people already know what's going on. So we don't record next Tuesday. So I will put out the My Guys list in substitute of that, which we'll get to Mike's in a second. But before we do that, Mike, why don't you remind everyone who you are, what you do, and where they can find what you do?
I'm Mike. Oh, there we go. You can find me primarily at Football Guys. You can also find me at the Fantasy Football Astronauts for now. I do the tight end and quarterback rankings for the Football Guys Rookie Guide. So if you have questions about quarterbacks and tight ends, I've watched, I think, 54 between the two positions. So if you want to know about Haynes King, I'm your guy.
Yeah.
You don't know about Joe Fagnano, I'm your guy. You want to know about Jack Strandt? I got you.
Yeah.
But just if you want to find any of my work, head over to Twitter or X. It's at FF Mike Cash with a K.
Yeah. Dave Kluge was on Heath Cummings' FFT Dynasty show today. And to mess with him, he said he did 58 running backs. I'm like, okay, fine. Who's your RB 58? And he had a perfect description of who like some fullback tight end hybrid from Michigan was, and completely put me in a coffin. So that's what I get for trying to pick on Kluge. But before we get into kind of the rookie stuff, let's get in quickly into the news. There's only a couple things. Dontavian Wicks was traded to the Eagles for late picks in this draft. We'll circle back to that. And Stroud had his fifth year option exercise, so there's 2 years to go for Stroud in Houston. So Mike, looking at Wicks, let's assume for now, because you know Lori or someone said it today, that he's an Eagle for now. Is there any value in Wicks for you right now, just as a big body in Philadelphia?
It's kind of like a wide receiver handcuff. You're not going to want him on your roster for most of the year, but when we're talking about our dynasty leagues, you're starting 4 or 5 wide receivers. You've got a bench that's 30 players deep. If either A.J. Brown or Devonta Smith miss time, there will be a chance for Wicks to maybe hold some value, but the value bump isn't high enough that you're like, man, let me go send a second or like a couple of thirds. It's steady for now until an injury hits.
Yeah. Tommy, what do you think?
I freaking love this because everybody hates Dontavian Wicks, right? And so he fits perfectly in the hierarchy of the wide receiver 70 theory that we espouse over on the Superflex Super Show, where you get two elite guys, right? You get Amon-Ra St. Brown, you get Ja'Marr Chase, and then the third position, if you're in like a start three wide receiver, you just grind through garbage. And I don't mean to offend the person, Dontayvion Wicks, but the fantasy asset, Dontayvion Wicks, is garbage. And I love streaming garbage. Like, I like using that position as almost like the RB2 or one of your flex spots. And so if people sour on him, if he gets dropped in like a 26, 28 man league, he's someone I might pick up and stream in a good matchup, right? Like, he's that type of player that can get you 13 points on a decent week.
Yep. Mike, anything on the Packers now that Wicks is out of that room, or not really?
Yeah, I made a lot of Packers fans really angry when I said, if, and I quote, Dontayvion Wicks is in your wide receiver one's way, he's probably not a good wide receiver one. I was talking about Matthew Golden. Like, if Wicks was in the way of the breakout, I got a bunch of comments saying that like Romeo Doubs was in the way of the breakout. And then I just put the same tweet, but put Romeo Doubs in the quotes instead. look, the floor does not care about wide receivers and target share. He does not care about our fantasy teams. He's the Arthur Smith, but running a good offense in Green Bay. So
yeah,
it's going to continue to cycle through. He's going to be like Tommy, just churning wide receiver 70s. I like Christian Watson. I think Jaden Reed could probably get a little bit of a bump, but it's still just going to be a cycle of guys, and I expect them to target somebody in the draft this year.
Yeah. Tommy, anything to add?
Look out for Tyreek Hill. That's my bold prediction. Tyreek Hill for the Packers.
Wow. I like that.
Ooh, that could be fun.
Yeah, that would be very fun. Okay. We'll get onto the rookie questions. I have asked everyone on this show since the first week of March this question. Who is your guy this year, Mike? Who are you not leaving the draft without?
I mean, it depends on how deep you want to go.
It's to give you some names like Jeremy Bernard, Chris Bell, Malachi Fields have been kind of some of the names thrown out. Eric McAllister, kind of that tier, second round-ish. Yeah.
So I'll give you two guys that, depending on draft capital, they could bump up into the second round. It's Talen Green at quarterback, and it's Justin Jolly at tight end. I'm a sucker for big, strong, fast, and just erratic at quarterback. Like, I just see those guys. I'm like, I could fix you. Like, let's work on those mechanics a little bit. And the NFL isn't a big develop players league, but I hope one day it is, and it is. The Talen Green could be a lot of fun. And Justin Jolly, like, Harold Fannin ran so that Justin Jolly could walk. It's kind of like the reverse. And Justin Jolly's a very good move tight end. I think there's a lot of utility to his game. And there are some scouts, you know, eavesdropping around the league that say that he could be the tight end 3 in the class. I'm not there yet because I think that Max Clair is pretty good. But I think that Justin Jolly is a great prospect with good hands that does all of the things we want for fantasy. And I'm pretty fired up about it.
Yeah. Before I throw it to Tommy, it's funny. NC State in 2024 had Casey Concepcion and Justin Jolly, and they were like 2-7. It's just a tough, you need a quarterback to make those things go. So it's tough. Tommy, I know you said you're not as rookie heavy this year. Do you have a guy you've liked as you've been going through, or someone has brought up to you that you've liked?
Yeah. I like to think of this in the abstract and say, what is the most affordable, assuming that we're going to respect base rates, we're going to respect historical trends and curves of, you know, anticipated point per game scoring. You know, the 101 anticipates having, you know, X number of points per game or X number of warp, that kind of thing. That's how I approach rookie drafts in fantasy football. And if you look at the 2026 112, it's actually dropped 21.5 spots in ADP since December. And so I'm targeting that draft slot. The same with the 207. That's dropped 16 spots. So those are two really affordable places that you can target right now where the cost of being wrong is historically low, right? So it's already baked into the price at those two slots where, you know, maybe that is a true tier break. You know, as a draft idiot, I'll say that, as someone who doesn't pay any attention to this type of stuff, I think that we can tap into the expectations of really smart people who get in their heads this time of year, right? Yeah. And so if they're saying that between December and today that the 112 is worth 21 spots less in startup ADP, I'm just going to buy 21 spots low and say, like, yeah, you're right, probably, right? I'm assuming the community is smart enough to accurately assess that. But that falling knife, if I just hit on, like, traditional base rates, I'm going to win more often than not because it is so much cheaper. And the other thing I'll add is, you know, the draft is around the corner. The final fourth round drafted NFL running back, that's probably going to be the guy that I'm really into, right? Because the hit rate of fourth round running backs is pretty decent, right? And the hit rate of fifth round NFL drafted running backs is pretty terrible. So yeah. I'm just going to try to moneyball this thing in a pretty terrible draft. Does any of that resonate with you, Frank? Do you have some names in mind?
No, I mean, I think, well, yes, it does. And I think it's hard. I think a lot of it's going to depend on landing spot for me. And it's one of those things where, and I'm about to ask Mike who his RB2 is in a second, but like the RB2, like I've asked everyone who their RB2 is, and I think I've gotten 8 different answers. And it's going to depend on, does Mike Washington go to Seattle like Schneider has liked him, or does Jadarian Price go to, I don't know, pick a spot. And it's one of those things where this is a lot. This is more based on landing spot this year than it ever has been. And there are very smart people like Mike who have gone through the tape and can like decide who is better at what in this draft. But if Catron Allen is his RB2 and Jadarian Price is his 3, but Jadarian Price goes to Carolina and all he has to compete with is Chuba, and Catron Allen goes to, I don't know, Minnesota, where he has a bunch of competition, that could be better for Price. I think it's going to be a lot of those things where things are going to kind of move up and down, where on the margins this year, it's going to be different. And Tommy, you sent me something, I think, this morning where it was like the 102 is like lower than it's ever been. Or what was the stat you sent me this morning? It was like since 19 or.
Yeah. So I've been tracking ADP historically year over year, as well as like through the months with this individual class. This draft class is as cheap, if not cheaper, than any of the past decade. 2019 is sort of on par with it. And if you look at the picks, they're actually falling in value this year. The 101 has gained 4 spots in startup ADP. The 102 has gained like a third of a single spot. And literally every other draft pick down to like the 408 or something has lost value over the past 4 or 5 months.
Yeah.
And so like they were cheap in December, they're cheaper today. So if people tell you that rookie picks always gain value, it's not true this year.
Yeah. Mike, I know you guys have done some mock drafts and stuff like that as you've been looking at that. Have you seen, you know, there's less value at 108 or something this year than normal, or where's your kind of tier break that you've said like after this it's kind of a hodgepodge?
Yeah, so I'm actually in a rookie draft right now because I have a problem, but I tried to sell my 110. I was like, just give me a player that I would normally get a first for. I could not find a buyer. It's 11 other guys that are big on Twitter, but it was just impossible to sell it because everyone's talked themselves into how bad this class is. I was able to like trade back a little bit. I think there's a clear tier break, honestly, at the 103. So I think Mendoza is a good quarterback prospect. I think Jeremiah Love's a fantastic running back prospect. And then you just have like 3 wide receivers, maybe 4, 1 tight end, maybe 0, maybe 2. And then you have another tier break somewhere between the 107, 108. And then pre-draft, we're talking about it could go from 110 up to like 208 because we have no idea where the running backs are going. We have no idea where the wide receivers are going. You could tell me 7 different wide receivers that go in the back half of the first round, and I would say, I believe you. Sure.
Yeah.
Because that's just how this class is, that there's all of these guys that you're just picking, you know, what kind of body type you want in your wide receiver room, and NFL teams will tell us what they think, but I think I may devalue draft capital as an indicator this year because of how flat it is after the first 15 picks in the NFL draft. So once you hit, you know, back half of the first round, that player is not that much worse than the guy that goes 49th overall or 51st overall, just because it's such a deep class at wide receiver. Not deep that they're all good, but deep that they're all the same.
Yeah. It's funny. A lot of my draft prep is basically drafting or downloading the Todd McShay show every episode since like the middle of March. And I've been listening to that because he's been my favorite draft analyst since I was a kid. But he talked about like how Antonio Williams could have value down the line if he falls into the right spot, because he's kind of, he compared him to Ladd McConkey light a little bit, just kind of the same kind of bulldog kind of slot guy. But it's funny. It's like you said, it could be a lot of different things in this back half. And I guess my question to you is in a tight end premium, is Stowers a first round pick for you if it's tight end premium? Sure.
I think even if it's not.
Yeah.
I feel better about Stowers as a prospect, even if I'm evaluating him as a wide receiver, than I do about some of these wide receivers.
Yeah, it's true. Tommy, anything to add before I go to the next question?
Yeah, I think that we need to put this draft class in context, because I don't think that we are enough. Yes, it's bad. Like, what is the next part of the question or the answer, right? Like, yes, it's bad. So what is it that you want out of this draft class? For me personally, I want to have the earliest reveal possible, because I think moving into 2027, the value of a roster spot is going to be higher than it is today. It's a deeper class. We've got the 2025 running backs that, you know, I think we've all talked about that they're worthy of rostership, of investment, of having on your team, right? That takes up a lot of real estate on your team. And so how do you manage the rest of those roster spots, right? Like, you've got your premium players, you've got all of your running back bench. I want as clear a path as possible to failure or success. I don't really care which one it is. Just tell me if they're going to be good or not as quickly as possible, so that I can move off of them and I can open up more space into 2027. And so I think that's how I'm going to be approaching this. Yes, looking at draft capital and finding the discrepancies, right? Tyler Shuck last year was drafted in the second round and he's going at like the 306. I was wondering, like, what are we doing wrong? Like, how are we so wrong on this to where we're not respecting draft capital? You had players like Trevor Achane, fourth round running back. He didn't do anything, but he was drafted in the fourth round, you know, of our rookie drafts. And yet we had players like Cam Scataboo with the same draft capital. And yes, it bore out where Cam Scataboo was the better pick, but the odds were pretty similar. And we had these really wide ranges, right? I think that going into 2027, we need to be prepared to trim down our rosters as quickly as possible and play that draft capital delta a little bit more aggressively, because I think it is, like you said, Mike, I think it's going to matter more next year than it does this year.
Yeah. And Tommy, I completely agree on trying to find ways to evaluate how good this running back or how good this wide receiver is ahead of time, which is why I think there's a lot of value in saying, like, here are the guys that are going to hit. But I think there's almost more value to say, here are the guys you don't want to draft because you're not going to know. And then you're going to feel obligated to either hold them or cut them before you even know. So we're talking about Nick Singleton, who's coming off of a broken foot, athletic freak, number one running back recruit in his class, all of the things that you want to check the box. But like, film guys don't love his vision. I'm in that camp, but I'll let people make their own decisions there. You're not going to know if Nick Singleton is good in 2026 because you're going to have so many built-in excuses. And then 2027 is going to roll around and you have another second or third round pick. Are you cutting Nick Singleton for that? Are you keeping Nick Singleton on your taxi squad? Like, there's a lot of discussions to be had there. And the other one, we're talking about Chris Bell out of Louisville. Size, speed. Frank, I know you listen to McShay show. I do too. Like, NFL teams might love him.
Mm-hmm.
He's going to take some time. So let someone else draft him, be impatient with it, and maybe you can scoop him up off of waivers in 2027, 2028 if he flashes, even when you have 30 bench spots, because people are going to look for, how do I stash 19 third and fourth round picks in 2027? Because we've heard all these good things about it. But really, it's like the draft may not be that deep. It's just really good at the top. So we'll see how it plays out.
So if we'll just jump to the fourth question, because we're kind of in that theory spot right now. If you have a mid to late first, are you trying to trade up or are you trying to trade down? Mike, you can start.
Yes. If I can trade up using 2026 draft capital or late 27, late 28 to try and get into that 101 to 105 tier, which is something that I tried to do in that draft that I already have. Try to trade up cheap first so that you can get that early access, identify the hits, see what's going on. But don't be the guy that's sending the 108 and a 2027 first.
Right.
So agreed. In that situation, I could not find a trade partner. I truly view the prospects from about 109 all the way to like 209, 210 as almost identical. So I just traded back for a fourth because a fourth is better than nothing. And I can use that fourth later to trade up in the third or second round if I need to.
That's crazy. The 109 and the 209 are the same in a draft class. It's
that may be like a hot take.
No, I know, but like it's just even saying it is unprecedented. It's crazy. It's been years since we've had that discussion.
Mm-hmm.
Tommy, go ahead.
Yeah, I've heard a lot of smart people say that, where there's this huge flat tier towards the end of the first round. I think the order of operations is pretty clearly in my mind. Trade for a vet, right? An equivalent vet. And then the second move, if that doesn't work, if you can't get Kyler Murray with a late first or something like that, is to trade up, to just honor the production curves, right? Say that maybe we're not as smart as we think we are. Let's just consolidate to the best possible bets that we can get. Finally, trading back is a very distant third option for me, especially if what you're getting is more 26 picks. I don't want more bad bets at a bad class. That takes up more space. That creates more ambiguity. That's more of an issue. That's less flexibility with the first waiver run. Like, I don't want to do that. I think that trading back and getting more draft capital is actually hamstringing you to a degree.
Yeah.
May I offer? No, it was a 2028 fourth. So it's the most flexible I could be.
I love it. I think I've always have been a trade down guy because I think more bites at the apple is better than none. I never have really been a trade up person, and I don't think that this class is going to change that for me. I'd rather take a shot on Casey Concepcion and Justin Jolly and see what I get, as opposed to sitting at 106 and seeing what Sadiq could be. So it's tough where I think landing spot's going to decide a lot of this. So I think when we circle back after the draft and look at all the pick trades that have been done, I think it's going to kind of show itself where the tier line is for a lot of people. And from there, it'll be one of those things where I think it's just something where we can kind of decide value as it comes along. And I think this will be a draft, a rookie draft, where there will be more pick trades than most, because I think people will start to have people they like and don't like and move up and down depending on what they see as the draft goes along. So that's how I would take that. Mike, who is your RB2? Obviously Love is a tier above everybody else. He's the king of the class. Who is RB2?
Why would Jadarian Price declare? Why would he do that?
I don't know. He's one of those volatile people that some people like and some people hate. And I get it, but I don't get it. Like why he came out. I think he would have been a beast at Notre Dame by himself with that line and that offense, and probably be not in Love's spot, as he's not as talented as Love, but he would be considered somewhere in the first kind of second round, I would guess, although there's a lot of running backs coming, so maybe not.
But I agree. So if he was in line to be the guy at Notre Dame, which is a fantastic place to be with that great offensive line, he decided to declare in this weaker class, which is probably a good indicator of what NFL teams told him about his draft capital. I do purely film grades for the Fantasy Football Astronauts, and then I do predictive both film grade plus draft capital predictions plus bio write-ups and things like that for Football Guys. And I think having those two different approaches was healthy for me. I love Jadarian Price in a small sample size for the Astronauts. I think that he has the juice. He was the kick returner. He breaks tackles like he means it. Like defenses are so tired trying to run around and figure out what Price is doing. And then all of a sudden this hammer comes in, even though he weighed in a little lighter because he was trying to run faster. I think Jadarian Price has a bright future. But also, like, Mike Washington is fast, and NFL teams like fast guys. So I have Mike Washington in an earlier update saying that he's RB2. I believe I'm going to update Jadarian Price here pretty shortly to be my RB2, but I have them neck and neck. If you put me on the clock right now and said I have to pick one, I'm going to pick Price because I want to be that smart person that believes my own eyes, but maybe I'm not as smart as I should be, and I'll keep trying to get better.
Before I throw it to Tommy, I think in the answering of why he declared, I think you're right. I think there would be some naysayers who would say Freeman just kicked him out the door for a better running back because the portal's broken. But they don't have – they have Anais Williams, who's fine. Like, Anais Williams wasn't some 2,000-yard rusher at James Madison who Notre Dame just stole away. I mean, he's a fine running back. He's been at Notre Dame this whole time. Mm-hmm. So unless they really believe – the guys coming in were going to be that much better than Jadarian Price, I don't know why Freeman would have kicked him out, because sometimes that does happen, right? Where it's just, you know, the head coach is like, go get your money now because you're not going to play a lot here. We have some guy we like, and Notre Dame could have done that. Maybe they love Anais Williams, and I don't know that, but it's tough. Like, and I like that why did he leave? And you're right. It's probably because someone said, like, you know, Carolina likes you on day two. Go get it and come on out. And so I think that is a smart way of looking at it. But Tommy, what do you think?
It's a boring answer, but I rely on smart folks like Mike and Zach Reed and Draft Capital and the NFL to tell that story for me. I mean, mm-hmm. I don't have any rookie drafts, thank God, that are going on pre-NFL draft. And that really benefits the running back position in terms of, like, sorting out who should be where in the hierarchy of ADP. And so mm-hmm. when I need film grades, like, I go to Mike, I go to Zach, and they tell me, they fill in all the vivid colors of why I should or shouldn't like somebody. And then the NFL buckets it for me, right? So that if I'm breaking ties, I lean on the fantasy analysts. If I'm mm-hmm. looking for where these players should fall in ADP, the NFL tells me that story at the running back position.
Yep. Doing the rookie drafts before the NFL draft is like storage wars. Like, you get these big lockers full of stuff and you don't exactly know what's worth what and what's not. And you might find the $2 million watch from the 1700s is buried in the locker, but you might find the piece of paper that's worth absolutely nothing. Right. So it's very mm-hmm. funny to watch. I think that's great to do, like, one. I wouldn't do all my leagues that way, but if you do one, I think it's a fun way to keep things interesting.
Have you guys ever been to an actual auction or a storage wars situation? Because that's no. like a fantasy of mine. I'm going to be totally
honest. I've watched the show, but I've never done anything real life like that.
I want the paddle.
Tommy, do you want to go halvesies on one? Did. Let's go halvesies on a storage unit.
I would love that. I would love that. Let's do it.
All right, I'm in.
Yeah. We'll put it on socials if you guys do that. You guys can throw it all up on Blue Sky and everything with your video of when you guys go to a storage war. That would be great. Mike, last kind of rookie question before we get – we'll have some listener questions and stuff later. But obviously there's the – I call them the big three. They're not the top three for everybody, but we know who they are. It's Lemon, Tate, and Tyson. So who's your favorite wide receiver outside of that big three? And they could be ranked ahead of Tyson or something like that for you, but just who's your favorite receiver outside of that big three?
Are we saying favorite as in I like them the most, or favorite as in, like, my wide receiver four?
Either one.
Right now, wide receiver four on the field, who I know that Justin Jolly outproduced him when they played together at NC State, but he's fast, he's explosive, he separates at will. This is the archetype of receiver that you see get 120 targets in the league. He had some drop problems, which probably led to some doghouse moments in college, but drops aren't a sticky stat, and I think that he can keep improving. But my favorite wide receiver is probably either Bryce Lance or Reggie Virgil. I know I have a type. I like big, fast guys. They're both big and fast. Reggie Virgil did not have the best combine showing, but that's because the way that he separates, he's like a power forward in basketball, like kind of slow, and then all of a sudden just this huge explosion near the rim. Reggie Virgil with the ball in the air can explode. He's smooth in and out of his cuts. He plays at a speed that he's able to process what the defender is doing in front of him. And then Bryce Lance is just, it's what if Trey Lance played wide receiver his whole life. It's pretty cool. It's a lot of fun to watch him and Cole Payton hook up North Dakota State.
I was going to ask, is that Trey's brother?
It is.
Yeah, nice. I like that. Hopefully he's better than his brother. I think 6'3", 204 at a North Dakota State for Bryce Lance, and because we haven't talked about these guys, and 6'3", 190 at a Texas Tech for Virgil. Fun offenses, both of them played. Mm-hmm. Texas Tech was one of the better scoring offenses in the Big 12. You can make with that what you will. It's not the same Big 12 as it used to be. They actually play defense now. And North Dakota State is North Dakota State. They're going D1 for a reason. So they're very, very good. So I like those answers. I've been a big Casey Concepcion guy for a very long time. I think you don't have to watch any of his A&M tape to say he's the number four wide receiver in this class, if not higher. I think everything he did at NC State, putting that very bad offense on his back for 2 years, should show everything you need to see. Yep. So, Mike, we usually do we'll let the guest decide this, but there's only two trades this week, so we're going to do the trades first, and then we'll jump to listener questions. So TradeX trades are 12 team Superflex PPR tight end premium with 1.75 per tight reception and 0.05 per return yard in all leagues except TA1. And we start with TA3. We have the 108, the 110, and the 211 for the 101. So there's your trade up.
So three late firsts for Jeremiah Love?
No, two late firsts, the 108 and the 110 and the 211.
Oh, Lord. I think it's a very reasonable starting offer. Like, you're not like mad at the guy about it. I would just stick with Jeremiah Love. This is, you're talking about like a 30% hit rate, a 30% hit rate, and a 15% hit rate versus like a 95% hit rate. I'll just take the 95%, enjoy that, keep my benches nice and clean for 2027, and get points now.
Preach the good word, Mike. Tommy? Yeah, no, you said everything.
Yeah, I agree. I think this was kind of a low ball for the 101. I think you have to go. What does that 108, Mike, need to be to make this worth it to you? The 5?
I think 5 is the range, but 3 and 5 are the same pick to me. So
yeah,
if you make it 3, it looks way prettier, but 5 is the similar value. With
5 might get the job done, right? The 101 guy might stare at it and neck say, and neck. Yeah, right.
Yep.
No, agreed.
Frank, does Mendoza fall beyond the 102, you think, after? You don't? That's the thing that I'm wondering with these picks that are like 103, 104. Like, am I trading away the opportunity for a falling Mendoza? I would kind of like that. Mike, what do you think about that?
I have seen mocks with Jordan Tyson going to the Chiefs, Carnell Tate going to the Chiefs. If one of those players goes to the Chiefs with Rashee Rice off the field issues, Xavier Worthy not putting it together yet, there is a world where that person becomes the 102, or somebody in your league drafts him at 102 and Mendoza ends up at the 3. And then maybe Carnell Tate goes to falls to the Bills, or the Bills trade up, or the Cowboys trade George Pickens for the 8th overall pick to pick one of them because they're tired of dealing with him. Like, there's a lot of ways that Mendoza ends up falling, and I think it's maybe a bigger tier than I made it out to be, but we'll see how the draft plays out first.
Frank, that's how the 103 is not the 105, right? Is there's a bit of a luck factor to it, to where, like,
absolutely,
someone can, I'm not going to say make a mistake, but they can make a decision that is sort of out of alignment with our expectations going into draft night. And I wouldn't mind if there is a small adder, especially with 2026 picks. If you're holding on to a 105 and it costs you like a 209 to get up to the 103, why not do that today? You know,
just in case.
Yeah. No, because worst case scenario, you take Lemon, right? And no one's the wiser. So I agree with that. the only thing that stops me from saying something like the Chiefs situation is going to happen is I think after Rice isn't suspended for anything, I don't see them blowing 9 on a wide receiver now. I think if Rice was going to actually be punished, or there was still rumors that he was going to be punished, I think it would be more likely. But I think it's hard because I don't see why they would spend 109 now, especially with Downs is going to be sitting there maybe, and there's going to be a couple offensive tackles where they need to rebuild the line again. So I agree with the fact that if Tyson or someone goes to the Chiefs, they could go 102. And I would agree with the idea of trading up to the 103 just to have it. I would not go the other way, though, and say, like, give me the 101, trade the 101 for the 103 plus, because I think you fall out of a tier. It's more likely you fall out of a tier than not.
I will say the Chiefs also have the 20th overall pick, and maybe they pounce on a falling Tyson for medicals. Maybe they pick somebody and we do the Clyde Edwards-Helaire thing again where we overdraft that Chiefs player. There are worlds where that landing spot has an impact, whether we should let it or not.
Yes. And we will get to Clyde Edwards-Helaire later. Next trade is TA7, Trey McBride for Brock Purdy, Aronde Gadsden, and the 305. McBride for Purdy, Gadsden, and the 305. And Mike, it's a tight end premium.
Yeah, it's 1.75 on top, or it's 1.75?
It's 1.75 total.
I think I still prefer McBride.
You have to think about it, though.
I do, and that's a very good offer. And depending on, do you need depth? Do you need a QB2? Are you just trying to make your team better? Are you in a full rebuild? There's a lot of ways where it makes sense. I think I just prefer McBride, and hopefully you already have a super team.
Tommy?
I don't think it's very close. I'm sorry. Oh, okay. No, because it's the lineup settings, right? So, Mike, you have to start one of every position, right? Like a quarterback, running back, wide receiver, tight end. There's a super flex, but there's a bunch of flexes beyond. What is this? Start 11, Frank?
I think it's 10.
Start 10. Okay.
I never remember. I'll look.
And at a 1.75 tight end premium, I mean, Zach Reed talks about this all the time, where tight ends, really good tight ends, look a lot like quarterbacks in this format, and you can start, what, 4 or 5 of them in a given week and be pretty comfortable with that. And so it's an opportunity, especially if you can like find a way to layer in Bowers or Loveland or Warren, to start to build that like negative warp advantage where you're sucking in all of the warp from the tight end position and forcing people to start garbage. It starts with one elite asset, right? Brock Purdy is not that elite asset. He's someone who, like, I certainly haven't given him his due. His touchdown rate is well above expectation every single year. And, like, maybe we just need to accept that's what it is. Gadsden, I mean, he's probably a good streamable tight end, but what you're doing is you're buying a difference maker, like one of the very few 15 or so assets in Dynasty Fantasy Football that shift the way in which leagues operate, right? And when you have that opportunity and it costs you Brock Purdy and Gadsden and a third round pick, I think you do that every single time, even if it puts you in a tough spot. Even if Brock Purdy is literally your only quarterback, I think you have an empty spot right now. You've got months to figure this thing out at the quarterback position, and you can get some other player to fill that spot that is unremarkable and have Trey McBride be that difference maker for the next 2 or 3 years on that team. Mm-hmm.
It is start 10, by the way.
Right, thank you.
No, it's so hard because I wish it wasn't Gadsden. I wish it was someone else in that tight end spot, because Gadsden is like, Mike, for, I don't know how much you've listened to the show, I'm on this crusade that like tight ends don't matter. And because regardless of tight end premium, like, I think positional scarcity isn't a thing. I think you have a guy, you have a wide receiver who scores 25 points, and you have a tight end that scores 25 points, especially when you have TA scoring where you have to start one of each and all that stuff. I think you'll make it up in the aggregate. So the problem with Gadsden is he could give you zero. He showed you that. And if they haven't brought Keenan Allen back yet, I still think they're going to. I think they're going to give Keenan Allen $1 million every year he wants to play, and he's going to be happy as a clam doing it. So I just struggle with – I wish it wasn't Gadsden. I wish it was – I now need to look before I say that. I wish it was someone like
– Pat Freiermuth.
Yeah, I mean, maybe. I got to pull up the rankings. Da-da-da-da, 2 seconds, sorry. I'd rather it be Pitts. I'd rather it be – I'm staring at Laporta, and I'm not sure I want that. Like, it's Laporta's a weird one for me because he could go right back to being great, but Detroit's getting crowded. So I don't know. I part of me almost wishes it was a wide receiver, but then you're giving up a tight end and not getting a tight end back. So, which I've done in the past. Like, it's not unheard of, but it needs to be a pretty good wide receiver you're getting back. It would need to be, you know, Olave, Nico level probably to make up for McBride, even with the quarterback there. So,
Mike, I think we should tell him now. I think it's time. Frank, this is actually, it's not an episode. This is an intervention.
Oh, good. Yeah.
You're too high on Aronde Gadsden. You would rather have Gadsden than Kyle Pitts or Sam Laporta?
No, other way. I'd rather have Pitts and Laporta. I was saying I would rather replace them. You can take the intervention sign down, Mike. I see you putting it up in the background.
May I offer?
Please.
Two things. One, we have a new offensive coordinator in Los Angeles. Maybe they bring in their own guys. Maybe Mike McDaniel lets it ride with Gadsden. We saw him make the husk of Darren Waller fantasy relevant last year. I would love to see what he does with the son of a fantastic NFL player who has shown flashes as a rookie. Two, we're talking about Trey McBride as a certainty. What about the Cardinals makes us confident in the certainty of that organization for any point of time? Who's the quarterback next year?
Brissett.
Who's the quarterback the next year or in like week 9?
Ty Simpson.
Okay, and that makes us feel good?
No, it doesn't. So,
I think there's a way where McBride maybe loses some of his luster after this year. I still think, as I said before, it's the Trey McBride side. Maybe it's a little closer because I think McBride will be fantastic for this year as long as Brissett is playing. We'll see if Gardner Minshew gets some run. We'll see if they draft a quarterback. There's a lot of ways the Cardinals organization becomes more of a dumpster fire, or maybe fixes themselves and runs them their offense through their wide receivers again, and then McBride returns to being medium.
The pushback on that would be LaFleur came from San Francisco and they pushed their through their tight end. That's their offense is running in tight end. So I agree with you. There is no certainty with this team, and I personally think Ty Simpson is garbage, but I may like I and maybe that's harsh, but I mean, it's like I've said this on the pod a lot of times, it's really hard to miss Ryan Williams, and Simpson did it an awful lot. So I struggle with Simpson being the savior to this team or whatever the next step is. And I, to be honest, I completely forgot Minshew was there. So like I think it's going to be an interesting season for the Cardinals, and Dante Moore save us along with 14 other teams that everyone wants him to save them. So
Him and Arch Manning are both starting for 16 teams next year.
I know, it's weird. Sayan's going to be a first rounder and shouldn't be, but he's going to be.
Bring him back next year. We'll talk about it.
Yeah, right. Yes, we will. Tommy, anything to add?
I have to throw out some numbers in defense of Trey McBride. I mean, this is a career 2 yards per route run plus guy. He's on the field like almost 90% of snaps the last few years. He's commanding a quarter of the air yards at the tight end position. I mean, you look at like his first read target share, he's the first read in the offense the last 2 years, a third of the time. They're looking to him before anyone else, a third of the routes that he runs. You don't get that at tight end in very many places.
First read target share is the thing that is most likely to change with a coaching change. So that's where I'm concerned.
I don't agree with that.
Okay.
I'm going to sit back. You guys can talk about this for a second. Go ahead.
No, I think that Trey McBride's a fantastic player. I agree that the talent is there. And I don't want to say that he's bad because he's obviously not. He's a superstar tight end. We want to bet on talent where we should. There is a world where the fantasy points drop a little bit because of quarterback play and organizational play. And we know that dynasty markets are overly reactive in those situations.
Where he ran well last year was in touchdowns and in number of routes run. I think he was second in the league in routes run, wide receiver or tight end. He had, I think, the second or third most red zone targets. Those things can absolutely regress. What is super sticky is the fact that at the tight end position that he's holding that first read share, because that doesn't happen at the tight end very often. And when it does, it sticks for a number of years. The big outlier in that is Mark Andrews, actually. He's the biggest outlier in first read share historically at the tight end position. I agree with you with like mediocre wide receivers. You know, that is very much dependent on coaching changes, on schemes, on quarterbacks. There are certain unicorns at the tight end position so unique that it is a real challenge for me to, once a player elevates to that threshold, to not take it seriously. And so could he regress? Absolutely. He could have one or two touchdowns, right? That would knock off a whole bunch of points, right? It would make him look a lot like other tight ends. But the things that we look for, the predictive things, they've been there for 3 years now.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to go back and I'm going to look at first read target share and when it changes, because I think you bring up good points about when it sticks and when it doesn't, but I think a lot of the times that it stuck is because Travis Kelce, it sticks, and that's because Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes are still there. Like when we talk about Mark Andrews, it stuck and then it went away, and that was kind of weird, and maybe it was because of injuries and car crashes and things like that. That's probably not a great example of it, but I wonder how often it does stick once it hits a threshold for a long period of time, and if that is related to the coaches being there. So I owe you guys a research project, and this is always fun.
I love it. I'd love to be proven wrong on it, because it would, what I do, one of my fatal flaws as a dynasty manager is I overinvest in tight ends, right? I try to get the next guy on the way up, or I try to hold on to the guy that I think is going to be, you know, Sam Laporte is a great example. Someone who's going to be at the top for a while and they fall back to the middle, right? And if it is Trey McBride, I think that's a huge cautionary tale, right? I think if I'm disseminating that information incorrectly, like, oh my gosh, what have we done? You know,
yeah.
Probably straight into Brock Bowers, I guess.
Hopefully.
Before we move on to the questions, I realized I forgot to do the thing. So first at the start of the show, we did
the news.
Then we did
Trade Addicts Trade.
Perfect. Okay. So I made up for it. Now we go on to listener questions. Trade Addicts Superfan, what are you trading for the 111? He has the 102 and the 105. So this is on the back of last week, talking about not having all the picks in 2026, right? Like diversifying into 2027. He likes his 102 and his 105. This is a friend of mine, so I know what he has. He does, because he stays in that tier. So he wants to figure out what to do with the 111. Are you trading it for a player? Or are you trying to trade it for some weird 20? I know Mike's shaking his head because he already tried to do this, but
wish I could tell him.
Yeah, right. Would you, let's ask it this way then. If you got a 27 second right now for the 111, would you take it?
No.
If you got two 27 seconds for the 111, would you take it?
No.
How did the teams look?
Let's say middle. They're the middle 6-6 teams that try and say the 111 is going to be the thing I need to get me over the hump.
I think I would bet that one of those ends up doing worse than they expect and one ends up doing better than they expect. So it's an early and a late. There's obviously a range of outcomes where if they're both late, that stinks. That happens. But I think with how I've talked about this being a flat tier, I think 227 seconds is – that's a bet that I'm willing to take, but I understand if people are not.
Yeah. And I know this league he's talking about is actually one QB, so Mendoza's not two. So what I would actually do, and I can't believe I'm telling him to do this because I'm in this league with him, is take the 105 and the 111 and go up, not the other way. Mm-hmm. And I understand you're gonna blow all your picks in this draft, which we told you not to do last week. But in this specific situation, if you can go 105 and the 111 to get to 103 and you get Tyson and Tate, that's pretty great, honestly. And that's how I would do it.
I wonder if you could trade the 105 and the 111 and get a 27 first and 227 seconds.
Maybe.
You'd have to find someone that really likes this class more than everyone else, I feel like.
Well, if you're able to trade the 111 for 227 seconds, is it crazy to think that the 105 for that person's 2027 first is on the table?
I think that's reasonable.
Yeah, no, now that you put it that way, yeah, probably. It's weird, right? Because it's such a bad class this year, and 27 is the greatest class in 25 years or something like that everyone keeps saying. It's not going to be by the time we get to it, but it feels like it right now. It's not one-to-one anymore. Like, even the 105 for a 27 first feels weird. And I know it shouldn't, but it sounds good when you put it the way Tommy just did. But people don't see it the way Tommy does. Tommy's a very smart person, and there are average people who are sitting here listening to this saying, why would I give up the 105 that I know is going to be in a super, let's say super, we'll go back to Superflex for now. It's going to be one of the big three wide receivers, mm-hmm, for a boat. It could be a boat. Like, that, why would you? It's hard. And I think the one QB wrinkle is going to mess this up, because 102 is going to be it's 101 is going to be Jeremiah Love. It just is. It's a one QB. Mendoza's not sniffing that first pick. So two is going to be your favorite wide receiver, and five is going to be either Sadiq or your fourth favorite wide receiver. And I don't know about that. Like, it depends on where Sadiq goes, right? If Sadiq is a Ram, like he's been mocked a couple of times, like, then now we're in business. But Sadiq could be a Brown or something. I don't know. He's probably not going to the Browns, but it's Sadiq's the weirdest one.
Are we that happy with Sadiq as a Ram? I mean, Terrence Ferguson kept him off the field for 3 years, so.
Yeah. It's
2 years.
Yeah. It's, and they just re-signed Higby, and you're pulling your hair out. But
yep.
I don't see them taking someone like Sadiq at 13 and not doing something with him. They have too many other things they got to do. They're probably not doing offense at this point. They could, but they traded for McDuffie and all that stuff, so they have – the defense is pretty set. They could just do some, you know, best player available, which could be Sadiq. They've had Lemon mocked to them. They've had a bunch of weird things. The Rams are a big enigma in this draft. They could do a lot of different things, and that will actually probably decide some rookie drafts, right? Because if you have Lemon, for example, going to the Rams – and I understand I'm talking too much because I have two experts on here – he's in the Ibuka role, right? Because Adams is there for another year, and Puka, God willing, is starting week one. Sounds like he's going to be ready for camp and everything, despite all his stuff he's got going on. Do you take Lemon at the 104 with the thought of he's going to be Ibuka and Stafford might not be there by the time he's actually playing? it's hard. Like it's a tough decision. So I'm not sure I'd rather not have like Sadiq on the Dolphins. At least he's going to get catches. It's just, it's hard.
Here's how I think about it, Frank, is the LA Rams are a perfect example because they've reimagined their offense, what, like 4 or 5 times?
Since under the same coach. It's crazy. Hasn't taken a new coach. Yeah.
It has been player driven as well. Mm-hmm. The reason that Puka got on the field was because he forced his way onto the field, right? Yeah. The reason they're very good at that type of thing. Great players find their way onto the field. And so chasing situation, in my opinion, like I'm not breaking any ground here, but like that is such a trap in your rookie draft to chase good situation, bad situation, because good players, if you're drafting a player, you're saying, I think this player is going to be good. At least you have some level of investment in that occurring. You should probably discount situation to the deepest degree in your rookie draft and just play the dynamic out over the next few months. You've got, what, like 5 months until football's being played? Mm-hmm. Like, if it's shit news, okay, this is a bad class, right? So you take a haircut, right? Instead of getting 2 seconds, you get a late second for that player. Fine, okay. Mm-hmm. You know, if it goes well, then you may be able to turn that into something real, you know, or ride that production curve.
And to your point, and then I'll throw it back to Mike, Ibuka is more likely the outlier, not the norm. Ibuka got on the field faster than most people thought he would. If we did the rookie draft again today, knowing what Ibuka was going to be, he would not have been like the 109 on average. He would have been much higher than that. Mm-hmm. So to draw the tie like I just did, I understand, of Lemon to Ibuka is hard because Ibuka had a lot of injury luck go his way with Godwin not being totally 100% and Evans not being 100%. So it's hard. Mike, what do you take away from all this?
I think if the Rams go receiver, I know you just said Ibuka is not a fair parallel. If there's a situation where the cards are going to lie in a similar way, it's going to be for the Rams where Davante Adams is about 7,000 years old and already deals with soft tissue injuries every year. Puka Nacua is completing the weirdest side quest I've ever seen in my life. So while those things are going on, there's a chance for a rookie to earn some coach's trust, to be a professional, to take advantage of the opportunities that are in front of him. And it's an organization that has shown a willingness to maybe throw draft capital out the window sometimes with Kyren Williams and Puka Nacua. And I like the Rams as the landing spot for a wide receiver, but it's definitely going to make it some tougher decisions in your 105 and Superflex and your 104 in your one quarterback leagues.
And just some news that popped up on my phone, the Giants and Dexter Lawrence have reached an impasse and they are now making calls for him. So, the Giants could have another first in their hands and with that could be Casey Concepcion. That could be, they could take Tate at 5 or something like that. That's been kind of all over the place. There will be places where some of these big wide receivers are going to go where we're going to be really dang excited. And the Giants are probably one of them, especially if it's Tate and someone who does something different than Neighbors does. I think it's going to be very interesting to see how this plays out. I don't believe Roseman saying AJ Brown is an Eagle. I just don't believe him. Like he says that. And there could be a draft day trade for him. And we're going to start all of this all over again. Right. So I think landing spot's going to be a big deal and we'll take it from there. Haywood Almanac's question. He said, which non-top 10 prospect is a must to leave with at fantasy rookie draft? We kind of touched on it, but Mike, is there anyone like outside of your, my guys that you have kind of outside the top 10?
A couple of guys that I plan on scooping up off of waivers. John Michael Gillenborg. He's the Wyoming tight end, late to football. I
love these names.
Super athletic. Tanner Koziel. He's another guy that, you know, big bodied. He has the wingspan of a pterodactyl, but he can just go up and sky the ball. running back that's not getting a lot of love right now, Demond Claiborne, nicknamed Demon Claiborne. Just fantastic scat back. Maybe a little limited physically, but that's due to size. And we've seen the NFL not care about size as much recently. And I think that he has a lot of wiggle and processing power. And that quarterback, Jack Strand, Minnesota State University, Moorhead campus. Best quarterback in the draft, if you told me to ignore combine invites and draft capital and all of those things. Look, he's 6'5", 230 pounds. He has a rocket arm. He lit up Minnesota State University Moorhead competition. I like Jack Strand. I think he's going to be good, but the NFL will tell me otherwise.
Sounds like a creative player in like NCAA football that you made. Jack Strand at Minnesota State Moorhead.
Sick, though. Great.
And then his other thing was, I asked, my question this week was, what do you do for the draft? Do you have parties? Do you watch yourself? He said he used to drive to Las Vegas every year with all of his football buddies and watch the draft at Legaz Stadium. One year we attended the draft in Las Vegas and we made a great trip out of it. Now hosting my podcast, The Pick is In, on the first night of the NFL draft. Nice plug, Haywood. But I do you guys do anything fun for the draft? Mike, I'm sure you're working. Football guys and stuff like that. Are you writing the whole time or do you get to you doing
the live stream? We'll see what the live stream plans are, but head over to the Football Guys YouTube. There's going to be live streams. There's going to be, you know, smarter people than me on there, or maybe I'll make a guest appearance or two. And then otherwise it's just laptop open, instant reactions. Here's the impact of the guys. So if you need those, head over to Twitter at FFMikeCash.
Before you were a football guy, did you do parties? Did you always watch by yourself? How did you?
I have always watched with one of my buddies, Cisco. We still text and call during the draft, but now we're just geographically located, dislocated. And this year I have another friend coming over. We're going to order a bunch of wings, some pizza, just talk ball in the living room quietly while the kiddo sleeps.
Love it. Tommy, what about you?
So this year I'm going to be joining the Fantasy Cares live stream with my
nice.
Brother John Hoag. Yeah, I don't know if that was actually official or not, but we're making it official.
Oh,
We got the invite and we said yes in the Discord, so we're joining cool. at some point. Really looking forward to that. But normally, yeah, it's pizza, it's wings, it's that kind of thing. My son is actually getting into football, like legitimately getting into football for the first time. So I took him to, I don't know, a dozen Jaguars football games. And he was always like into it or whatever, right? But I took him to the playoff game versus the Bills this year. And it was the final year of having our season tickets because they destroyed that portion of the stadium. And he took it to heart, guys. Like it broke him to lose to the Bills in the playoffs. He cried. He was upset. It wasn't fair, this and that. And it's like, he's in now, you know? And so it is my goal to make the other parts of the NFL experience meaningful to him as he like sort of ramps up in his fandom. And so he's going to be a part of my draft experience this year for the first time. And I'm really looking forward to that.
That's so cool.
Yeah.
I love it. I have never really been a big draft party guy. It's always like, you know, especially since I started working, it was always hard for me to pull off any parties or anything, but I've always just sat back and watched it. It's literally one of my favorite nights of the year, the first round of the draft. And I think I am doing the Fantasy Care stream. Russ kind of said it in passing, so I have to make sure of that. But I've done it the last couple of years, so that's always been fun to do. And yeah, on Thursday you should put up Football Guys and Fantasy Cares and all these other streams just across your computers. Just turn them all on at once. You can have 100 people talking to you at once. It's great.
Quad box.
Yeah, exactly. Okay, from Kevin, at clearly not Kevin. I still don't know his name, Kevin. You need to tell me. If Seattle goes running back at 32, where do you think that player will go in rookie drafts? I remember hearing CEH launched up draft boards when he was selected. Okay, before Mike goes, I don't think Seattle's taking a running back at 32. I think they have stuff they got to. They lost Cope. They lost a ton on defense. They got some stuff to fill. But, Mike, let's live in a world where Mike Washington goes to Seattle at 32 because Schneider's head over heels for him. Where would this running back go in your rookie drafts.
It's a new little mini tier that pops out of nowhere. So if it's a super flex draft, you have your, you know, running back, quarterback, three wide receivers. And then there's this little baby tier where maybe one of the wide receivers outside the top three gets a good landing spot. Maybe Kenyon Sadiq ends up in a nice spot. Now you have another first round running back, and it's just those three players from your 106 to 108 ish. But I would also be surprised if they go with a running back at 32. I think they could be a prime candidate to trade out of 32 if somebody wants to sneak up for Ty Simpson, which would be silly, but NFL teams live their lives. And then we see what the first round turns into, because it's going to get turned upside down.
Yeah. Tommy, what do you think? Where would that 32 overall running back go?
I'm going to caveat this just real quick. Last year, I thought Jackson Dart should have been the 104 and Tyler Shuck should have been the 112 in our rookie drafts. That's the degree to which I adhere to draft capital in my rookie drafts. If a running back gets drafted in the first round, they belong above almost any first round wide receiver. So the conversation starts for me at third overall.
Blimey. Okay, I love that. I would be scared of the CEH thing. It's different, though, because I think CEH was, first off, he was on the greatest college offense of all time. Just let's just put that out there. He was. You can argue who's around that, but the LSU offense was the greatest college offense of all time. So that obviously helped your stats. Maybe CEH wasn't as talented if he was somewhere else that year. I think putting him on the Chiefs that needed a running back was what pushed him up so high. But to Tommy's point, Seattle actually needs a running back right now because we don't know where Charbonnet is going to be. And Seattle is a proven concept of actually running the ball. The Chiefs, to their credit, are kind of like the Rams, sometimes for the worse, where they've changed the offense a lot. And sometimes Mahomes throws 50 touchdowns. Sometimes he throws five. I'm obviously joking, but it feels like it sometimes. So I think it would have to depend on where the receivers go. Like, I would take Tyson on the Saints over running back at 32, I think, still. And that's the one I've just seen mocked. That's what I came up with. But, like, I'm not taking Tate on the Browns over running back at 32. So I think it will depend on a lot of landing spots from there. So, Mike, do you want to read the next question from your astronauts question?
Absolutely. So from the social media admin at the FF Astronauts, Patrick Mahomes or two random 2027 firsts? Tommy.
All right. Patrick Mahomes. Do you know, going back all the way to 2013, who has the highest hit rate of top 24 finishes on a weekly basis?
Is it Patrick Mahomes?
Josh Allen.
How about top six?
Josh Allen.
Patrick Mahomes.
Dang it.
He has the highest rate of top six finishes on a weekly basis and top 24. 96% of the time he is in the top 24. He is honoring at least the super flex position. If you can get Patrick Mahomes, like, I don't care if he's hobbled. I don't care if it takes him a little while to ramp up. I don't care if he loses some athleticism. These quarterbacks that are 29, 30, 31 years old are winning more and more with their minds. That's the phase of their progression in their careers. Patrick Mahomes is a savant. I have zero concerns about him for the next whatever number of years, probably longer than your dynasty league is going to be alive. If you can get him for 227 firsts, you just locked in a 96% historical top 24 finisher on a weekly basis. Sounds pretty good to me. That's what we're hoping for with 27 picks. With any rookie pick is to get to that threshold. That's the best, the literal best. Frank, what do you got?
I struggle with this because I understand it's with your mind and all that stuff, but Mahomes is going to be 31 basically when the season starts. And man, his offense is crumbling around him. Kelsey's about to go. we can't keep Rice on the field. I'm not sure we're totally ready to put Worthy in the grave, but he's standing next to it. Maybe if they get Tate or something like that, to Mike's point, maybe that reinvigorates things, but, or they trade up back into the first with Kansas City or with Buffalo. Maybe Buffalo blows this again and gives the receiver to Kansas City again, but which ended up actually thinking about it, saying that out loud, that worked out for Buffalo. Well done. Although they took Keon Coleman, so I guess they both lost. But if they get Casey Concepcion in the first or like something that reinvigorates them, maybe. But I also, to your point where they're winning with their minds and everything, the players are also getting smarter and retiring before their bodies are completely falling apart. Mahomes might not play till he's 50. He doesn't have to. He's made $500 million in this contract. And his wife is pretty successful on the side as well. You can say what you want about Brittany, but she's successful. I just don't know if I can give 227 first for Mahomes, but I see all the reasons why. And it sounds great when you say it as you said it. But I think when I stare at that MFL screen and I see 227 first on one side and Mahomes on the other, I think I would hesitate to click accept, is how I would put it.
Would you be happy? Oh, sorry.
Go ahead.
I was going to say, would you be happy with 12 more QB1 finishes?
Are they all this year?
So Tom Brady from age 30 until age 45 had 15 more QB1 seasons. Aaron Rodgers,
you're saying from age 30, years, not
about eight
not,
or nine more.
Yeah.
Yep.
Matt
Stafford had 6 or 7. Don't Gen Z me there. The years are meaningless. And I think Patrick Mahomes isn't chasing money. He's chasing greatness at this point, and that will lead itself to longevity. And even if it's only 5 more years, would you take 5 more years of QB1 production for 2 firsts?
Y'all are making a really good case for this. Yeah, probably. How many rings does he have? 3? All these blend together. He has 3, right? He's played in 5, 1, 3. So he's got 4. Is it 4 to catch? Brady's got 7. So, God, he needs to play a long time to catch Brady.
Frank, can we turn this?
Sure.
How many quarterbacks would you trade 227 first for?
Like, how many would I give away 227 first for?
Mm-hmm.
Allen, Daniels, Burrow, Jackson. I don't like Drake May as much as everyone else, but sure. Dang, is that the end of the list?
5 QBs, huh?
Well, because I'm just going down Football Guys' rankings. After that goes Caleb, Herbert, Hurts, and then Mahomes. I love Caleb, like, literally. He's making some tough decisions right now, but I love Caleb. Mm-hmm. And I don't think I'd trade 227 first for him. Herbert, definitely not. He can't stay on the field long enough. And there's an annual hit piece on Hurts every year. So I think it's those 5. And maybe I'm trusting the rankings too much. Maybe Mahomes is higher than this, but I think it's those 5.
Mike, how about you? How many?
Maybe Mahomes.
You've got 2 firsts, 27 firsts in your pocket. What are you, how many quarterbacks are you trading those 2 firsts for?
If it's a league that doesn't have wild settings where I'm starting a bajillion quarterbacks,
sure.
Let's go down the list. Yes, Josh Allen. Yes, Drake May. Yes, Caleb Williams. Yes, Jaden Daniels. Bit of a hot take, but like I'm questionable on Lamar Jackson. I still think probably Lamar Jackson. So we'll put 4.5, Burrow 5, Herbert 6, Mahomes 7. This is where it gets weird, though, is I don't know if I'm willing to do that with the Jackson Darts, the Tyler Shucks, I want to see it a little bit more with those guys. I believe more in the guys that are 28, 29. We've seen it for a while. I think Jalen Hurts gets a bad rap. I think the number is somewhere between 8 and 10. And if you're telling me that they're truly random, now we're talking about, well, maybe my team's good, and then I'm trading away another playoff team's first. I'll trade two late first for, honestly, probably Mendoza, Prescott. The list gets much deeper when we start talking about where those firsts lie.
Yeah. Well, I hope that's helpful. You know, if not Mahomes, then the list is somewhere between 5 and 8 amongst the three of us. So if that's not working for you,
try again.
Some other guys. Yeah.
Yeah.
Small list.
This is why I love having Tommy on the show, because he doesn't let me wriggle out of these questions. I would be like, I don't know if I want to. Then he makes me say, okay, which quarterbacks would you do that? Yeah, he doesn't let me get out of these things. All right, from Hogan Jones, the 109er Josh Jacobs. Yuck. I don't like either one. I used to love Jacobs too, and he scares me now. Jacobs, I guess, because he's proven. But
why sell Jacobs in April?
Right.
You can have Jacobs and the threat of points for another couple months.
Yes.
Sell him for a seemingly random hey, man, you just need Jacobs for this playoff push, and then you just root on their downfall the rest of the season.
Yep. And vice versa. If you've got the 109, yes, the draft is coming up. There's no hurry yet. You know, there's a lot of things that look like Jacobs. You can get another one.
Yeah.
I think you both could do better.
The thing about Jacobs is he doesn't have a lot of competition right now. Wilson is gone. My joke is, and it's not really a joke, but kind of, Marshawn Lloyd is perpetually questionable. And that's it. Chris Brooks, who I know some people like. I don't remember who said that the other day or a couple weeks ago. Like, someone had a lot of Chris Brooks for some reason.
On purpose?
Yeah, I don't remember the reason. Someone said why. It's like someone liked him for some reason, just has a ton of him. Like, he took him in the fourth, like, every draft he had or something like that, which I thought was funny. Okay, and then the last question is Malik Willis in 2026 pick value.
For me, it's pretty comfortably that starts at that 106 range.
I was going to say
how the draft plays out. Contract investment from the community. You can probably flip him for more after week two when he scores 40 points on the ground and everyone's head over heels for him.
Yes.
And if you don't believe in him, then you buy yourself time by buying him.
Yeah. To your point, and then I'll throw it to Tommy, because Tommy was, to Tommy's point, the draft pick values for the first time in like history are going down. And Malik Willis's value is, I guess, on the rise, because if they draft anything to help him, he's going to go up.
Yep.
So it's weird. The pick is the deteriorating asset this year. So, Tommy, what do you think of that conundrum?
You nailed it. Yeah, I was looking at the biggest risers and the biggest fallers, not just rookie picks. And Malik Willis is, I think, the biggest or second biggest riser out of the entire Dynasty asset cast, going back to December to today. Kind of feels like he's being fed into a meat grinder, though. I don't love that. And I don't like doing the Rocky Petrella thing. I know I'm sitting in his chair right now, but like, I don't want to invest in quarterbacks that have that type of outlook where it's like, yes, he has a 3-year deal. Is he going to start for 3 years? I don't think so.
I think he's going to start for 2.
Maybe that would be a gift. That would be exceeding my expectations. And so like, I think he is a conveyance to bigger and better things. Right. And those don't involve a 106 based on these conversations today. Those are not bigger, nor are they better.
Yes.
Can you use him to get into CJ Stroud? Right. Someone who I like a lot more from an NFL standpoint. I know you don't. can you use him to get into Patrick Mahomes? Like, what on top of him do you need to spend? Is it a single 27 first? Can I do that? That would be pretty rad.
That'd be sick.
right?
Yeah.
Like, what? Just start adding things to Willis and say, like, how high can I get with a asset that I believe in more? It might not be Stroud for you. It might not be Patrick Mahomes for you, but that's how I'm going to use him. Otherwise, like, go down to Stafford and see what you can get on top, right? Like, I kind of have the same outlook for them, same expectations. And you know what? It's probably a better track record with Stafford anyway. Like, if you think about quality starts, my bet is Stafford has more of them remaining in his career.
So you're saying one season of Stafford
is worth,
you have to assume it's one, is worth more than whatever Willis's future is.
Mm-hmm.
I don't hate the thought. I kind of like
it. Spicy, though.
It is spicy, though.
I love
By the way, I'd rather do the trade you were saying for Mahomes than the 227 first. I'd much rather give Willis in a pick to get Mahomes. Then
it may cost more than that, but what else does it cost? Is it Devontae Smith? Okay, you can have him too. Is it, you know, pick whatever you want off my roster.
See, I'm scared of putting Devontae Smith away because if AJ's gone, he's a beast.
I love Devontae Smith. I do. I think that he is a top 12 wide receiver in the NFL.
Right now with AJ there?
As an NFL player as well.
Oh, got it. Wow. Because he's top 12 in Dynasty if AJ is gone.
Yeah, for sure. Yep. I'd pay that, though. Sure. Whatever.
Yeah. Wow. Okay. Well, on that spicy take, that's the end of our show sheet. So that's going to be the end of our show. Thank you, Mike, for coming on. We will not make it 2.5 years before you come back on again. Before we Sounds head out, good. Why don't you remind everyone who you are, what you do, and where they can find what you do?
Yep. I'm Mike Cash from Football Guys. You can find me over on Twitter at FFMikeCash with a K, or you can go to Football Guys. Just, you know, subscribe, put in an email. It's free for 99% of it. And you can find all of our rookie guide rankings and instant draft reactions over there.
Yes. Tommy, you want to plug anything?
Go check out Mike's stuff. He's the man.
Thanks, Tommy.
I need to do a show with you two more often because I was just sitting here watching the two of you like theorize back and forth, and that was fun. We're going to do that again. Our stuff, patreon.com/DraftXPod. You can watch us while we record. We also have our Discord chat, the Cool Kids Club. Like I said, no show next week. So everyone enjoy the draft. Apparently Tommy and I are going to be on the Fantasy Care stream together. I didn't know that until the show started. That's great. I love that. With John Hogue and Zach Reed will obviously be on and whoever else they have going. And then, on the Fantasy Care stuff, the Zach Reed rookie report is live. So get the Football Guys rookie guide and the Zach Reed rookie report. You can never have too many rookie guides. Dynasty Hootenannies on Thursday nights. I think they're done. They did their second catch all last week. So their podcast is anywhere you find your podcast on the Face of Cares YouTube channel, etc. Trivia on Tuesday nights, the Wednesday hangout, and the Fantasy Cares draft stream next Thursday. And they sometimes do Fridays. I don't know if they're doing Friday this year, but I think that's it. As Russo always told us, if you have a trading problem, you're never alone. Good night, everybody.
Thank you for listening to the Trade Addict Podcast, a member of the DLS family of podcasts, and a proud member in the Dynasty Addict Podcast Network. Please follow your hosts at Dynasty Haha and at Dynasty FF Addict. Please subscribe, rate, and review. We will catch you next time on the Trade Addict Podcast. Poopy fan. Daddy's the best. See ya.